The Word of God is sure, and it's powerful, and the person that brings it is not always as important to God as the message itself. And here we are at the beginning of 2017, and I think I've got a message that the Lord would use really in the life of everybody that's here. And I would start by asking you this question before we read this text in Luke 17. But is there something in your life that you would consider to be impossible? Something in your life that you would say, there is no natural way that this thing would ever occur, this situation would ever improve, that I would ever get any kind of positive results from this. I think about people this year. I started telling Cindy towards the end of 2016 that I know for our life, I don't know what the circumstances are. I think 2017 will be a year of transition. And that's not good or bad. It doesn't mean I'll be taken away. I just think that there's a lot of change coming. And I look at this congregation and I think about the issues that all of these people would face this year. Some of you are going to face challenges to your health. Some of you are going to face situations with your family. Some of you are going to face maybe a situation in your employment or being relocated. And I think about the prayer request of Abram and the circumstances that he's going to go through, you know, as he transitions this year. But I think about all that, and we come to the question, we ask ourselves, is anything really impossible for God? And there's a need in everybody's life. And sometimes we put God in this little bitty box and we say, I believe that God can do these things. Well, the truth of the matter is God can do everything and he can do anything and he can work in circumstances that we can't imagine. Now, I want to read a few scriptures in the book of Luke, the 17th chapter, and we're going to begin at the 11th verse. Luke wrote, and it came to pass as he, as Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he passed in the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they cried up with their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, and with a loud voice he glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 that were cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory unto God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, the leper that had been cleansed, he said, arise and go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Let us pray this evening. Lord, I thank you for the privilege. And Lord, I don't take it for granted. I take it so seriously to be able to stand here this evening, Lord, to share your word with this congregation of people. Lord, we often talk about preaching to the choir. And certainly, Lord, we're doing that this evening, and the faithful of the church. And Lord, these are the foundation and the bedrock. And I pray that something will be said and done this evening, Lord, that will just encourage us to remember that you're God and you're mighty and you're not limited. And those things that we would consider to be impossible, Lord, all things are possible with you. God, lead in the message this evening and help us to bring these simple thoughts forward, we pray. Amen. The first thing I'd like you to see this evening is the situation with which Jesus brought forward and met these men. It was very intentional. And in life, I talk about things that happen that are intentional and not intentional. God can work through both. But Jesus had placed himself in a situation where he would come to this particular situation. He knew that he would interact with these men. He knew he would heal these men. He knew that one would turn back and 9 would go their way. And this followed, of course, the teaching that is recorded in the 16th chapter and the beginning of the 17th chapter. The 16th chapter, very, very well known because of the rich man who had rejected Christ, had rejected God, as it were, and it ended up in that place called hell. And in the beginning of the 17th chapter, we see the apostles, or the disciples rather, asking Jesus that he might teach them about their faith and increase their faith. And here we come to this situation where the impossible was presented to Christ. The men that Jesus allowed himself to come into contact with were in a very difficult situation. They were in a situation that had no positive end to it. These men were lepers. And we don't see that much in the world around us today, and I'm not sure that we really understand what that is, but there was a death sentence upon these men. not only did they know that they would die in a very miserable fashion, but they knew that they were exiled. There was no one that really was going to show them kindness. That they were people that no one wanted to be into contact with. They were outcasts in every sense of the word. They had no hope. But apparently they'd heard that Jesus was coming to town. And when Jesus had presented himself close to them, these men cried out to them in a way that was meaningful. Folks, I would tell you this evening that we may look at the impossibilities in our life, but Jesus is always in the right place. Every time, waiting to minister to the needs of those that call out to him in faith. I think about the circumstances of my life and how many times I've been in difficult situations and God has manifested himself. Maybe sometimes the answer to the prayer was what I expected, but very often it was unexpected. Sometimes it was pleasant. Sometimes it was the closure of a door that I had hoped would open. But Jesus, the Savior of all mankind, has an interest in meeting with those people who call out to him. The Bible tells us here that he had presented himself to these people in the area of Samaria, and that when he entered into a certain village in verse 12, that there met him 10 lepers, and they stood afar off. You see, they weren't close to Christ, but he heard their call. I think here on this earth, so many times we think about how we're separated from God. You know, the Bible tells us that we'll have a degree of difficulty in life. That here on this earth, which is under the curse of sin, and that this world would reject the Christian and not have an interest in those who present the gospel. Sometimes we feel like we're so far separated from Christ. But the Bible tells us that he wants to meet with us. That he dwells in the praises of his people. That he meets with us as we meet together here. He speaks to us through his word that he's given us. He speaks to us through the miracles that happen in other people's life around us as a witness of the goodness and the mercy and the love and the tenderness and the care and compassion of a man that this leper called Master. And I would tell you that there is no place upon this earth that man will ever be able to escape the gospel message of the Son of God who went to the cross of Calvary and died for the forgiveness of sins for all of those who would accept him. These men were in a difficult situation, almost impossible that by any circumstances that anyone would help them. And yet Jesus Christ did. They cried out and he heard him. The second thing I'd tell you this evening is what it was that they cried out. They lifted up their voices and they cried unto him and they spoke what anyone in this circumstance would be. They called for mercy. Master, have mercy upon us. They recognized him as one who had authority, one who was powerful. And I wonder sometimes in the New Testament church if we haven't gotten to the place where we want to limit or we want to see Christ through our own eyes and understand how things are going to be and understand the circumstances that he's going to use to bring about change and improvements in our life. But you see, that's the thing about God. It's when it's an impossible situation, you can't figure it out. There's nothing you can do that's going to make it easy or make it right. There's nothing that's going to help you to figure out a plan. And I think about the aspect of salvation itself. You see, the Bible tells us that God is holy and he's just. He's not like us. Man was created in the image of God, but we quickly fell away from that. And you think about a place called heaven, which is perfect in every aspect. The powerful angels that God created that worship and serve him there, They're just easier to understand, perhaps, why they're there than why God would allow a fallen mankind to enter into his presence in heaven. We didn't deserve it, and only through the blood of Christ can we enter into that place where God would allow us into his presence. That's an impossibility. And yet the Bible says that he reached way down, and through the gospel message, he found a way that he might touch our hearts, and through his sacrifice, we might be saved. These men cried out to a master, asking him to have mercy upon them, just as he's had mercy upon each one of us. There was a death sentence upon their life. I would imagine if you look at that day, they were living from day to day. They had probably no place of permanence. They were exposed to the weather. I'm guessing that they lived for very simple desires of having food and having shelter. And when they cried out to Jesus for mercy, I really wonder what they might have expected. You know, the definition of mercy is compassion or forgiveness that's shown to someone else when it is within your power to do otherwise. You see, they cried out for Jesus. He still would have been God if he would have walked by. He still would have been perfect and sinless if he would have responded in some other way. But you see, Jesus looked upon them and realized that they had a need that only he could address. I think about the impossible situations in our life. And yesterday, Brother Wayne and I had a chance to go to Kernersville and to see Brother Roger off as he transitions from being a pastor for 45 years to being an evangelist. And there's a very special story about that place that I never forget, which is when we lived there just before we relocated back to Kingsport, Cindy was expecting Chloe. And we weren't teenagers at that point. And they began to scare us at that point. Well, I wasn't anyways. You know, she'll always be a teenager. But, you know, they began to tell us the stories. And they would tell, Cindy would go in for an appointment. They would say this and they would say that. And there were at least twice through that pregnancy, Cindy, that we wondered, would we have a daughter? Well, God gave us that daughter. He did what it seemed to be impossible. And when Cindy would go in and talk to one doctor, they would say, the likely circumstances are going to be this, and it could be this outcome, and what have you. But you see, God did what we had no influence on. He gave us a beautiful little girl. If I'd known what she was going to cost us, you know, I might have looked at it differently. But we're just so thankful for the fact that God works in our life. And these men, when they looked at the Lord Jesus, I think they had heard the stories. They understood who he was. And they looked towards Jesus, and they had hope. Now, you want to look in the world around you today. You want to have hope? You better look towards the church steeple. And I appreciate all that's going on in our country, and they're talking about the transition of power, and this company's going to bring in jobs, and we need great jobs, and all that kind of stuff. But folks, the hope of this world is just dirt on the shoes of a holy God. If you want to have true hope, you're going to find it in the cross. You're going to find it in the Lord Jesus Christ, just where these men did. They cried out. They said, Lord, have mercy upon us. Show us compassion. Show us forgiveness. Show us kindness that we don't deserve. And Jesus heard that. You see, I think these men, they were looking for help, and they had nothing to lose. Can you go back to the day in your life when Jesus, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit began to work in your life? And you came under the power of holy conviction. I think about the person I was when I was 18 years old, lost and on my way towards the devil's hell. I had no interest in the Word of God. But when God spoke to me, I heard him call. And he showed me mercy and kindness, and I had nothing to lose and everything to gain, Pastor. How can we turn away? How can we neglect so great a salvation from the Son of God who died upon the cross of our sins? For our sins. And these men recognized who Jesus was that day. And I want you to look at what happened. They came to Jesus. He presented himself at a place where he could be found. They called out to him. They recognized his superiority, his sovereignty when they called him master. And in verse 14, he gave them what they were looking for. But I don't think it was what they were looking for. It says, and when Jesus saw them, he said unto them, go and show yourselves unto the priests. Now, this is an important part of this evening's message, which is that Jesus made a way, Jesus heard their calls, and Jesus had a remedy. Jesus had a remedy. Now, I end up, because of the work I do, working with a lot of contracts. And contracts can be fun and, you know, and all that, they can be complicated. But usually, Pastor, in a contract, there's a remedy, which is if something goes wrong. If something is not met in the certain expectation, then there's a consequence. There's an aspect to it that automatically is agreed to before you sign that document. And when these men came to Jesus, I just wondered what they expected, Brother Ralph. They cried out for mercy. Jesus paid attention to him. He heard him. I don't know what that gap was. It says they stood off and they cried to him in a loud voice. But he spoke to them in a way that they clearly understood what he wanted. And I think that his response to them was absolutely unexpected. In verse 14, he gave them a very simple statement. Go show yourselves unto the priests. Now, there were 10 of them there, Pastor. And I just wonder if one of them turned to the other and said, did he say to go show ourselves to the priest? Because, you know, that's the way we are, right? God will speak to us in a very clear way through the Word of God or through the Holy Spirit or through someone that's sent to minister to us in some fashion. And if we don't get exactly what we want, then we begin to question. We begin to say, maybe I heard him wrong, Brother Ralph. Maybe I didn't understand what he said. But his remedy was the perfect remedy. He looked at these folks and he recognized that they were needy people. Now, Jesus at that point had been on the earth some 30 years, born of Mary, and certainly was very familiar with people. But you got to remember that he is eternal. There was no beginning. There will be no end. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. And long before he met these 10 lepers on that road, he dealt with a lot of other needy people before. I think about how Jesus had dealt with through the closing the mouth of the lions when Daniel was thrown into that pit with them. I think about the fourth man in the furnace who looked like the Son of God, who dealt with the three Hebrew children when they were in a time of impossible situations. I think about Joseph, who came from the prison to be the second in command of Egypt and to lay the foundation for what God would use to be Israel. I think about Noah, who was commanded in an impossible situation. He was in a corrupt generation around him. And what was God's remedy? He said, I want you to build an ark for the saving of your family. You think about the aspect of Abraham and how God's solution to him and his prosperity and carrying him forward and the promises that he had given him. What did he want Abraham to do? First, he wanted to relocate. I want you to get away from your family. I want you to go to a place where I can deal with you individually, and all your blessings are going to be attributed back to your faithfulness to me. And then later he said, I'm going to have you to offer your only son. I think about Moses, who was placed in a float after he was 3 months of age, and he was raised as a prince in the Pharaoh's house, and later went on to part the Red Sea, and as the pastor preached wonderfully about this morning, to lead the children of Israel. You see, we look at God, and we have impossible situations. We're needy people, like these 10 lepers, and what we want is a response that we can expect, when a lot of times he'll send you a response that you didn't expect. God's good all the time. I want you to turn to your Bibles with me to the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And I want you to look at some answered prayers that God has provided through the generations. You know, he gives us his word and he gives us our Bible. And I'm just so thankful that we live in a country where they've done so many things here and there. But God has a people, and they're still firmly rooted in his word. They still understand that this is the revelation of God all the way through, the way that God reveals himself in relationships and his desires, his interest, his patterns to us is through his word. And the writer in the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, gives us this great hall of fame. And he starts off with the aspect of faith. You see, the 10 lepers came to Jesus in simple faith, with hope, thinking if we can just get before the Master, he'll do something that'll change our circumstances. In the 11th chapter, beginning at the first verse, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, let me tell you, folks, I'm going to stop right here. We're not going to read much of this chapter. But if you can figure it out, it's really not faith. And if you can address it through some circumstance within your control, you're really not of faith. I think this talks about the fact that we've got to look to things that we can't see and understand that God is capable of making those things to happen. You go on in verse 6, it says, but without faith it's impossible to please him, to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. These 10 men, they came and they diligently sought the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us to go to the end of this chapter and look at the final verses of this chapter and into the 12th chapter. But at the 32nd verse, the writer is finishing up with this great hall of faith and talking about the people who have had impossible things done in their life. In verse 32, it says, and what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. They waxed valiant in fight. They turned to flight the enemies of the aliens. Women raised their dead. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. See, these are impossible things. Verse 37, they were stoned, they were sown asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Look at verse 39. And all of these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now I want us to go on to the very first verse of the 12th chapter. The writer then turns it on us. Wherefore? That word wherefore means with all of this example, with all of this background, with all this foundation, you need to take the next statement very seriously. Wherefore, seeing that we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The race that was set before these 10 lepers was a race that was filled with illness and rejection and shame and humiliation until they came to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was able to help them finish their race by the answering of their prayer. What was their prayer? Lord, that you'll just have mercy upon us. He had mercy upon Saul when he met him on the road to Damascus, changed his life, helped him to be born again, and to go on and lead the New Testament church. And folks, I tell you that this God who saves, and this God who resurrects, and this God who has changed the course of history is still able to do the impossible. Jesus made a remedy, and his remedy involved faith. When he talked to these men, he gave them very clear, very understandable instructions. The Bible tells us that all 10 of them were changed. In verse 14, it says, it came to pass that as they went, as they were obedient to Christ, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back with a loud voice. He glorified God, and he fell down at Christ on his face at Christ's feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Now, we're not going to preach much on this evening, but you know, there is a good message in where are the 9. And I believe that the 9, they didn't necessarily abandon Christ. There are probably some that went on the path. They went to the priest and explained to the priest what had been done and that Jesus had sent them that way. There were maybe some that went to their home and explained to the family, you know, we met Jesus on the road and now we're cleansed. And maybe there were some that went and started a food pantry. Maybe there were some that went and started, you know, some good work that they might help other lepers. But you see, there was one that recognized what they had was impossible to cure except for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, church, I appreciate the building, as the pastor said this morning. I appreciate all the people. You just have no idea what it is to be a part of this blessed church. But folks, everything that we have, we ought to lay at the feet of Jesus Christ. He is the author and the finisher of our faith, and he is absolutely the foundation that will carry us through the dark days and carry us through the bright days. This one turned back to him and looked at him and said, Lord, I heard what you said, but I got to come back and lay it all at the feet of Jesus and recognize him for what he's done in my life. I was thinking about this message, and is anything impossible with God? And years and years ago, I met at this church for the very first time Brother Alan Davis. And on the face of this earth, 7 billion people, Brother Alan Davis is one of those I look most to in respect and in admiration and, you know, as a role model of what we ought to be. Brother Allen works in very difficult circumstances, as you know. We had been a small sponsor of his when we were at Still Creek. We took him on as a missionary, and he would give us the reports of, you know, he just doesn't deal with people that come in and are difficult within his church. He has to deal with fire codes and regulations, and he's trying to buy property that we couldn't even begin to imagine, you know, how you would pay for something that expensive with almost no, regular congregation, as it were. But Brother Allen has lived up to the impossible, which is what God has called him to, because of Jesus Christ and the faith and the courage and the witness that he's put through the Holy Spirit in Brother Allen's life. And I tell you what, this is a great man of God. I don't believe that his faith is of the limited time type. I believe that his faith is of the unlimited type, that he believes that God can do the impossible, that God can give Brother Allen souls for his labor in a place where people just reject the gospel, that God can provide the right building that Brother Allen might need that would become the church, that would become a foundation in a community where people might be saved and turn to a holy and a righteous God. I would ask you, is anything impossible with God? So the answer is obviously no. So why is it he comes to us when we call out to him for mercy and kindness and grace, and we recognize him as master, and he gives us something that seems impossible to do? He gives us a remedy. And instead of walking towards the priest, sometimes we just want to sit down and think about it. Folks, I believe that Jesus has called us to be obedient unto him, even when we don't understand, even when we don't recognize, even when what we've been asked to do, did he want us to go show ourselves to the priest? Even when it doesn't make sense, he wants us to go forward. Why? Because it's through the healing, through the blessings that he provides, that Christ gets the glory. He gets the recognition for the impossible things that he does in our life. So this one turn back, and the Bible tells us here of the encounter between he and Jesus. In verse 18, he says, there are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. Verse 19, and he said unto him, the one leper that was cleansed, he said unto him, arise and go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And I want to focus on that last word there in the 19th verse, the aspect of being whole. Jesus' interaction with this man had not only healed his physical infirmity, his immediate problem, but his faith had changed his entire disposition. His faith had brought him back to the one who is the author and the finisher of all things and the creator of this earth. Where were the other nine? I don't know. Maybe they again went to the priests. But this one man recognized who Jesus was, and he came back. I think about the aspect of salvation in our life. You know, there's a day when we become aware of the gospel message. Maybe that's through Sunday school. Brother Kenny, maybe that's through a bus ministry that shows up and somebody brings them to church and they get a chance to be exposed to the Word of God. But there's a day in the life of people when they become aware that Jesus is passing by. Jesus was going to Samaria. Jesus was going to Galilee. There's a point at which you become aware of who the Son of God really is and what he means to us. I believe in the aspect of our life, after we become aware of the Lord Jesus, that we become convicted about our relationship. And I do believe this with the entirety of my being, that if you run into somebody or somebody tells you they've been saved, but they can't bring you back to a point of conviction, and I'm not trying to be a judge here, but you need to question that situation. When you begin to realize who God is, that he's holy and he's just and he's perfect and that we're not, it brings you into a point where your will wants to align with his. You realize that we're not worthy, and that conviction brings upon you the desire that you might have the relationship with God that he has brought forth through his word. We can be saved after that. We can begin to grow and serve God, and we begin to look towards his promises that are given to us in his word. And I think this is what Jesus was talking to this tenth leper about when he said, your faith has made you whole. You see, our faith in Jesus Christ will save us. And when we come to the cross, when we come to the altar and we bring our sins to the cross of Calvary, I believe that we can be wonderfully and completely and marvelously saved at that moment. I don't believe there's anything we're ever going to do in this life that'll add to our salvation. Nothing that'll take away, because Jesus finished it upon the cross of Calvary. You're with me on that. But you see, that's just the start. This leper was changed on that road, but he immediately came back to the one that had changed him and said, "Lord, I just want to fall at your feet and worship you." He had gotten more than just his immediate problem addressed on that day. Yeah, his faith had brought him to Christ, but his faith brought him back to Christ. I believe that he might serve him and worship him and glorify God and give the credit to the one that made all these things possible. So, church, with that, I want to ask you a question as I finish here this evening. I look across this congregation. I believe everybody here has got something in your life that you need God's help with. Maybe it's the fact that you lack confidence about what your ministry is. Maybe it's the fact that you've been praying for something and a doctor tells you it's impossible, that you can't have this certain thing, or that there's a circumstance that prevents this from naturally occurring, what have you. Maybe there's a financial need. Maybe there's a neighbor that has been such a problem or a nuisance that you think, well, I'll never be able to get that straightened out. I would ask you, is there anything that's impossible with God? And why don't we act like it? So many times, you know, we say, well, there's nothing impossible with God. Why don't we act like it? Why don't we be like the 10 lepers that brought it to the feet of Jesus and said, "Master, have mercy upon me. Take this circumstance over from me that I might be made whole and serve you in a fitting capacity." Jesus offered mercy to all 10 of these. He gave them all the same thing. But there was one that came back. Jesus made a way for all of them. There was one that came back. And I just wonder here, this church, this evening, church, as we start 2017, people talk about resolutions and all this kind of stuff and what have you. What we really need to do is get more discipline about us. We really need to line up with His Word. We ought to have a desire from God to follow Him, that this might be the year where we see great revival come out in this country. This might be the year where we see our nieces and nephews, our brothers, our sisters, our neighbors, our co-workers, that they might be interested in the Word of God and get saved before it's eternally too late. We don't know what God is truly capable of doing in our lives until we just leave it at the foot of the cross and say, "Jesus, have mercy upon me, and come and do these things that as you would will in your life."